All right. Let me explain basically what I'm talking about to set the concept. This message is just tracing through the book of Jeremiah some significant times that Jeremiah was persecuted. Because as we've been talking about addressing our culture, and I mentioned in the last message, the politicians that should be executing wrath on evildoers, the influence, the cultural influencers, the high and the mighty, the people that are called upon to be the experts, and then also the religious people, the people that are supposed to be telling the truth from the Bible, from God's word, and most of them, many of them, are making things up just on their own. So as we do this, what should we expect? Well, there's two sides of it. From their side, we may expect some form of persecution. That is, we are advocating that we do things what they might consider the old-fashioned way. You know, they have the new way. They have the brave new world way. And they're thinking that if we all sing Kumbaya and hold hands, the whole world's going to get together and drink a Coke. I forgot about that. And everybody get together, that the whole ship of state will just go perfectly, see? And we're saying, I'm not holding hands. Sorry, I don't believe what you believe. I'm not doing this. And they're saying, you're the problem then. You're the people that it's causing this not to work. So I wanted to compare this down through Jeremiah to see what they did to him. And then what was his response? And what I found is persecution from their side, but compassion from his. Now, you know, if somebody attacks you, you feel like it's time to attack back. And you know, somebody's trying to punch me in the head, I'm going to try to duck and hold a shovel up to catch his fist or something. I'm trying to avoid this. But when I'm giving the true word of God, the only response that will make any sense from my point of view is to give God's response, a godly response. And that can be summarized by compassion. Now, not everything he said was compassionate, like, oh, it's all going to be fine. You know, that's peace, peace when there is no peace. But what he said was, I'm telling you again what God says. And if you obey it, if you follow it, things will get better. So God's enemies heard Jeremiah's message. You know, it was a message of condemnation, and they resented it because this was where they had led the country. It was seeking, his words were seeking to undo all that they had been doing, all they had been governing, all that they had been preaching. Now, our message of condemnation will meet with animosity and resistance. They'll call us bad names. So I want you to follow with me the progress of Jeremiah's persecution and his compassion. So first of all, there was persecution of word and attitude. This is usually the way it begins. Jeremiah 8:18. Then said they, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. We believe in what these people have been saying to us. Come, let us smite him with the tongue. Now this may be, the King James margin tells us, let us smite him for the tongue, for what he said. See? And let us not give heed to any of his words. We're not going to listen. In compassion, after this, Jeremiah stood firm, warned the people of the wrath to come. That was Jeremiah 18:18 and Jeremiah 19:15. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. They said, I will not hear. He says, then you get the wrath of God. And he was faithful to give that, knowing what they're going to think, knowing what they're going to do. He showed compassion by sharing the truth. You know, if this, you put this in other situations, you understand it, see? If the doctor is going to say to you, you have cancer, that's not good news. Could be the forerunner of death, and perhaps an agonizing death. So somebody else could say, well, don't tell them. Say, I'm sorry, I think you have a cold, that's all. So here's an elixir that you can drink and everything will be fine. And so by the time they find out, they'll be dead anyway, so, you know. How would you like to be treated like that, see? That there is a way to deal with it, but I'm not going to tell you because I think that would hurt your feelings. Really? I don't think we'd like that. So, escalation. Next is persecution by stocks. Not bonds, but stocks. It was a bad situation. You know, stocks. Jeremiah 20:1-2. Now Pashur, son of Immer the priest, okay, taking offense for his father the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord of the temple, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet, put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. I'm not sure why the temple had stocks, but there was close to that area. So there he is, laughing stock, put in the stocks, throw bad tomatoes at him, whatever you want. Jeremiah ended up with compassion, but first he quit. I don't like this, he said. You're making me do goofy stuff. I'm wearing a, putting a yoke like an oxen on me and walking around, you know. He said, that's just goofy. I don't want to be goofy. I don't want to be the guy that everybody says, oh, here comes the storm cloud giving us bad news. So he quit. He resigned his office. But compassion came back. He couldn't keep it up. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You get the idea is that I still have God's truth, and these people don't have the truth. I've got to say it. Escalation into persecution by death threats. This is the thing now, this whole trial of the 17-year-old that shot somebody in self-defense and so on. All the people involved got death threats. Now we're in Jeremiah 26, verses 7 and 8. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. These were the church people. Didn't like hearing this. When Pastor Porter went out west, found a church, they had been schooled in liberal thinking. And he was saying, I can't cooperate with the people that don't preach the word of God. And they said, well, they all love Jesus. They all talk about Jesus. They all love Jesus. That's all, the only thing that matters. And he said, can't do it. So they kicked him out, see. They didn't want to learn the truth. So Jeremiah 26, when the attack of Nebuchadnezzar started, they said, oh, he might have been right. So he goes back and he warns the people Jeremiah 21, 8 to 10. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. These things that happen one after the other when they're barricading the city. But he that goeth out, flee to the hills, and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live. If you go out with your hands up and say, take me, you will live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. For I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Well, then, later we find persecution of imprisonment. Israel didn't have prisons. That wasn't part of their justice code. Everything was either you pay a penalty or you get killed. It was either capital punishment or you paid capital to own it back. So where were these prisons? Well, we'll find out. Jeremiah 32, 2 and 3. For when the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. They picked a place that the door could be locked, and they put him in there. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand. You're demoralizing the people, telling them that the king of Babylon's going to win. You know, we're trying to pump them up here. Well, even while imprisoned, in his compassion, he gave out the word of promise. Later in Jeremiah 32, 37, 38, God gave this great promise that this Babylonian captivity would not last forever. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries whither I have driven them in my anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. It was these promises that Daniel later, 70 years later, read and said, well, this is about time is up. He started praying to God. Well, may it be now, may it be now. But time passes, Jeremiah 37 now, persecution of further imprisonment in a different place this time. Jeremiah 37, 15 to 16. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah. Those are those cultural influencers, you know. The princes were wroth. And smote him, smacked him around, put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe. This is the holy man who copies out the word of God, the scribe. For they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, so it was not a very pleasant place. Jonathan the scribe didn't have a nice house, evidently. And into the cabins, and the King James Version says, or cells, you know, whatever it was. And Jeremiah had remained there many days. All right. What happens? Well, it turns out that the king calls him out for a private consultation. Jeremiah told the king God's special message for him that he would be taken to Babylon, but not killed. So Jeremiah 37, 17, the very next verse from what I stopped reading. Then Zedekiah the king sent, took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house. Treat him rough, bring him out here. I'm going to beat him up. Okay, really, what I brought you out here is for. Is there any word from the Lord? He knew that he was getting message from God. He wanted to hear it. And Jeremiah said, there is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. They will not kill you and drag your carcass out and dump you like a donkey in the ditch outside. But for you, you will be delivered to the king of Babylon. The last one that I'll share with you is the persecution of being lowered into an empty well. Thing that had been a well, now is a prison. Jeremiah 38, verse 6. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malachiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, get the depth of it. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire, muck. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now, I'm guessing more than ankle deep. I'm guessing at least to the waist. I'm thinking probably to the armpits. Because later when they decide to pull him out, they dumped a bunch of old, torn up, rotten clothes, said, stuff it under your armpits. They took the ropes and put them under all that. It took 30 men pulling and tugging to get him out of the muck, out of the mire. So it wasn't that his shoes were stuck, you understand. But somebody comes to the king and says, he's just going to die there. He's in an area because of the siege, there's no food. And, you take a chance, toss the crust down there, see if he's going to catch it or lands in the muck. So somebody pled for Jeremiah to the king. The king released him and asked about his future. And Jeremiah, I'm not sure before or after his bath, showed him the conditions for his safety. And he says, God has told me that it's kind of up to you if you decide one way death, one way life. Jeremiah 38:20. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. The people will not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. Do this, and God will keep you alive, even though it'll be in another country. So I wanted to share that with you to show you how people respond. When they reject God and his word, they will reject you. This is what Jesus told his disciples, you remember? He said, if they treat me like this, so will they treat a faithful servant of mine like this. You can expect this. And so we can pretend to be of the world and probably avoid persecution. But who is that honoring? So, Paul tells Timothy, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So the message tells us to keep on speaking the truth, no matter how it threatens us. We must obey, but never lose the concept that our warnings are not mean-spirited threats, but our compassionate warnings to flee the wrath to come. This is the message that we find all through Jeremiah. Let's pray. Father, you've given us a wonderful meal, and we thank you for those who provided it. We thank you for the kindness of each who have come to share with us and to share their fellowship and their good conversation. Guide and direct us then as we go to our homes, as we spend the rest of the day with thee and with one another, and we pray that you might bless us. Allow us to come to the place where we're ready to speak the truth, no matter what. We pray it in Jesus' name.